from the second part of Luke. But before we do that, we're going to stand and sing our third song this morning. O church, arise. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And please stand as the music starts. Good morning, everybody. Now, as you know, my name is Ziggy. I'm one of the members here. And as you know, this is, in the Orthodox tradition, this is Easter Sunday. So for the Romanian speakers, Christos a Inviat. And in Israel, they have no such tradition of the resurrection. But my speech to one of my Israeli friends this morning, and he, if the tradition did exist, it would be Hamashiach kam, Achen kam. But again, it's a tradition that does not exist. But good morning. So I'm going to read to you Luke 24, but of course I'll begin in Luke 23, verse 55. I'm using an NIV that James gave me the other day, so if there's a slight variation, just bear with that. It should be the same, hopefully. Let me just pray as we begin. Lord, Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. You would fill us afresh with your spirit. You would give us new thrill and excitement in what your Son has promised us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Luke 23:55. Don't be distracted by what's above me. Luke 23:55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered the words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, who were saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them as he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." they were startled and frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, who is the youngest person present here today? Now, I know the children have left and it's not the all-age service, as my wife told me. But who is the youngest person present here today? The youngest person. Thank you. Ian? Yes. You might be. I'm not convinced, but I think you might be younger. Yeah. Now, who else? Now, can you tell me, the very youngest person here, what is the name, what was the number that James pulled out of the deck last week? I only want the youngest person to tell me. What was the number? Amelia, you got a number for me? One? Amazing. Now, Ian, you might want to contribute this as well. Are you the oldest person here today? Who is the oldest person here today? Okay. Can you tell me what was the number that James pulled out of the deck last week, last Easter Sunday? Can anyone, one of the really older people, can you remember what the number was? I can't hear anything. Can anybody hear anything?
One.
One? Okay, well done, thank you. Now, if you're a guest here today who wasn't here last Sunday, because you weren't here to see it because you weren't here last Sunday, but you're here today, and I know someone is here who's new because I can see Paul. If you were definitely not here last Sunday, can you tell me what was the number on the deck that was pulled out of the pack of cards last Sunday? Can you tell me?
One.
Okay. Now maybe you're a real cynic and you don't trust the youth of today, Amelia, and maybe you don't trust old people's memories. It was a week ago. Now let me ask everyone who was here on Easter Sunday, what was the number that James pulled out of the deck?
One.
Okay. So this is the question. What is going to persuade us to persuade anyone that Jesus rose from the dead? We weren't there. I know I wasn't there. And last week I was away in Ireland. I wasn't even here, but I did listen to the sound recording on the website, and I heard it was the number one. And last week, so we heard Chris speak on the beginning of Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, and he spoke about the eyewitness witnesses, and he named those three women, not including the other women, but their names are on record, and you could go and speak to them. I think that was the point. They saw the empty tomb, they saw the angels, and they were frightened. And then the angels, that's always a dramatic sign in the Bible that something big is happening. And they said, "He's not here." In fact, they say, "Why are you here? Didn't he say he would meet you in the Galilee?" The heavenly witness, another level of certainty. It's out of this world. And then Chris reminded us of Jesus' own witness. Didn't he say, he said, "I would die and rise to life again"? And then we have history's witness. The single most astonishing event in human history, the resurrection. And this has traversed the generations. What we have here is eyewitness testimony when we read Luke's gospel. In the very day, you could have gone and spoken to the eyewitnesses. And well, that is exactly what Luke did. In the beginning of Luke's gospel, he said, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." Now, there's a difference between knowing and knowing. We all know that childbirth is hard, but until you've given it a try, we all know that raising children is challenging, but until you've given it a try, and we all know that climbing Mount Everest is hard, but until you've given it a try, there is a difference between knowing and knowing. They knew Jesus was alive, but they didn't really know. It was an experience beyond their imagination. It was beyond their expectation. The 11, and there were others in the room, they could hardly believe their eyes. Verse 33. They got up, that was Cleopas and his friend, and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, who were saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. They doubted because what they saw was so unbelievable. But they knew he was alive. The women had gone to an empty tomb. They were rebuked by the angels. The two guys on the road to Emmaus had met Jesus and had quite a long chat with him. And Simon Peter had met the resurrected Jesus. This was old news by now. And then Jesus appears, "Peace be with you," and they are startled. Verse 38 flags up a problem. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your hearts?" Verse 39, he says, "Check for yourselves." 39, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And verse 41, he says, "Do you have any food?" 41, "And why do they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence." How do you know? Have you ever gone to bed and wondered if you turned the gas off? Or if you've wondered whether you've really locked the door? Have you ever gone on holiday and wondered if you've left the iron on? Some things can be checked. Out of bed, in the middle of the night, stumbling down the stairs, and yes, the gas is off. And now the front door is double locked. And Jesus says to them, "Double check. Check it out. Look at me. Look at me. Have a look at my hands and my feet. Have a feel. These are my hands and feet. Are you convinced yet that I am flesh and blood?" And you know what my favorite food is, don't you? Why not examine the evidence for yourself? It is a complex story. There are four gospel accounts that talk about the story. John 20 is an interesting chapter because there's Mary Magdalene and she comes to Jesus and Jesus says to her, "Don't touch me." And then there's some sense of a garden tomb ascension. Because later on in John 20, Jesus says, "Do touch me." Something has changed. It's all about me. Well, it's not about me, but verse 44, Jesus says, "It's all about me. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus says the whole Bible is about him, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. 700 years before Jesus came into the world, one of the prophets, Isaiah, talks of someone called the suffering servant. And this servant, he breaks every command of God. He dies for the sins of others, even though no one is qualified to do such a thing. And besides, no one is of a pure enough heart to ever be a sacrifice. And to boot, human sacrifice is forbidden. The servant does things only God can do. He restores mankind into relationship with God. He bears our sins. He makes us right with God. He intercedes for us forever. The servant is the priest and the sacrifice and God himself. Or as we've seen from Luke's gospel, the suffering servant is Jesus, the Son of God. I could take you to Psalm 22 or 69, the one who's suffering for righteousness' sake. I could tell you about the promise God made on the day Adam and Eve betrayed God. I could tell you about the promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I could tell you about the promise that God made to King David. We now know that the whole Bible is about Jesus. Jesus told us. And we now know that the good news of a Savior wasn't just for the nation of Israel. It's for all of the nations. Just look around this room. Here is prime evidence. God always had the nations in sight. God is the God of the whole world. Verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." John the Baptist had spoken to the religious leaders in Luke 3. "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham." And Jesus is in the synagogue in Luke 4. "I assure you there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's day, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a famine throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Jesus healed the Gentiles. He came for the nations. "You now know everything, so be my witnesses." Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." Now the "you" is not us. We weren't there. The disciples were. And long before he died and rose, Jesus had told them that they would have plenty of opportunity to bear witness about him. But we have a problem in verse 49. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Now, this is an interesting thing to think about. Is Luke 24 all happening on the same day? The women went to the tomb. Cleopas meets Jesus on the road, and then Peter meets the resurrected Jesus, and then everyone has a good look at the risen Jesus, and then he tells them to stay in Jerusalem, and then he ascends to heaven. All on the same day? And I think if we've read some of the other Gospels, we think, I'm sure that Jesus went to the Galilee. I'm sure he did some fishing with the disciples in John 21. Not that Jesus was doing much fishing, more cooking the fish on the stove. And then what about that great commission in Matthew 28? That was also in the Galilee. Jesus definitely seems to have been, after he rose from the dead, in the Galilee. I mean, is Luke confused? And Luke even records in the beginning of 24 that the angels, what the angels told the women, didn't he say he'd meet you in the Galilee? What are you doing here? It reminds me of a silly story of a Jewish man living in Hong Kong. Of course, it's for those from Hong Kong, this is a very exciting story. A Jewish man in Hong Kong, and after a couple of months, he goes to the Jewish religious establishment, and they say, "Why have you come here?" And he says, "I want to order some food from you." And they said, "How long have you been living in Hong Kong?" He said, "3 months." And they said, "What have you been eating?" In the same way, the angels say, "What are you doing here? What have you been doing?" Luke 24 is a contraction of events, not a confusion. Luke simply wants to rush us out to the building so we can tell everyone we know that Jesus rose from the dead. Luke just got a bit too excited. The prophets foretold it. Jesus said it. The disciples saw it. And all we need to do is to proclaim repentance in his name to all nations, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus took them to Bethany, to a mountain called the Mount of Olives, and said to them, "Be my witnesses." Verse 50. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, this story is a very contracted one, so I have to go into Acts chapter 1 because Acts and Luke are really two halves of one big book. So Acts is the second half of Luke's writing. So that story, the ascension, is now picked up with the same theme of "Be my witnesses" in Acts chapter 1. Now, if you do want to come to Acts, I think it's two books on. I'll just give you a few moments to get to the book of Acts and I'll read it to you. Not the whole book, just chapter 1. Not even all of chapter 1, just the first bit. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. It's the same place, Bethany, the Mount of Olives. It's the same call: go to the nations and be my witnesses. It's the same command: stay in Jerusalem, with the same promise of the Holy Spirit. The work of Jesus continues by his Holy Spirit in Acts, the book of Acts. Just as Luke 24 said it would. Luke effortlessly moves from the death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit without placing any emphasis on any one of them. They come as a whole, a roller coaster descending to the horrendous depths of crucifixion, ascending to the glorious heights of resurrection. Luke is giving us assurance, everything we need to know. Be my witnesses. And don't be distracted with trying to guess when I'm coming back. Don't get caught up in conspiracies. Don't be caught watching too much Netflix or too much Amazon Prime. Be my witnesses. we can ask our friends some questions to kick off a conversation. Where do you go to church? Are you looking for a church? Are you a praying person? People will find any objection to the gospel, and even come to a passage itself and find objections and tell you it makes no sense and that's a contradiction. We are to give account of the hope that we have, but only if they are sincere. If they are insincere, we need to be very slow to give them an answer. Rather, we need to gently help them see that they have a need for God. Many are looking for more evidence to harden their heart, but we won't do that. Don't overthink sharing the gospel. We just need to be obedient. We just need to be obedient. Either we think this message is fairly important or maybe not important, or we think it's so important we can't stop talking about it. If you are a guest here today, welcome to our family. What is on the table here exactly? Repentance of sin is now available. Look up at the cross. James, the elder James, he spoke of it on Good Friday. Have a listen, go to the website and listen to that. Catch up on that. Good Friday, such an odd name for the day your Saviour is executed like a criminal. But that was the point. He died so that we don't have to be judged and condemned by God. It's all about repentance. It's about turning from our lives of sin to the one true and living God. It's all coming out of Luke 24. Luke gives us lots of stories that Jesus told. Why do evil things happen? A tower had fallen on some people and killed them. In Luke 13, Jesus said, those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Jesus told a parable of a rich man in hell and a poor man in heaven. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus told a parable of a tax collector, Luke 18, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the self-righteous man, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Repentance is up for grabs. But first, people need assurance that this is true. Well, it's funny you should say that, because that is exactly what Luke has been doing all along. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an ordinary account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Do you still have doubts? Take this time to investigate this yourself. If this is true, it's the best news in the world. It's a new life. It's a new allegiance. It's a new job. It's a new boss. God himself. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for repentance for us, that we can come to you not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done. We thank you for Good Friday. We thank you for the resurrected Jesus. We thank you he is alive today. We thank you for so many convincing proofs. Above all, we ask, Lord, now that you change our hearts. You give us a hunger to speak of your Son. You bring us to life and send us out into this world with words of life for those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our final song this morning and see what a morning. Do please stand as the music starts. Thank you.